In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about God's requirements. If you've been listening for the last couple of days, you already know the verse that I've been referring to as the succinct little rule that we have in the book of Micah, telling us what it is that God requires of us: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Now, what is mercy exactly? Let's talk about that one a little bit. It means forbearance from inflicting harm, especially in the way of punishment, under provocation when one has the power to inflict it. Examples of justice must be made for terror to some, and examples of mercy for comfort to others, said Lord Francis Bacon. Examples of justice must be made for terror to some, and examples of mercy for comfort to others. On the day on which I was preparing this talk, a Dutchman was hanged in Singapore for drug trafficking. And of course, there was a great international outcry. That was not merciful. Just for drug trafficking, you get hanged, you get the death penalty. Well, do you know what? When my husband and I were in Singapore, we noticed that in large red letters right across your entry visa are these words: death penalty for drug trafficking. Clear as a bell. Anybody that goes into Singapore knows ahead of time that the death penalty will be administered for drug trafficking. Terror is necessary for some. This death penalty is just. It is made for terror to some. And the results are significant. There is very little, if any, drug problem in Singapore. It is a clean city. Well, then there was also the celebrated case of the American man, young man, who was flogged for vandalism. Now, as I recall, I think he got 4 lashes with a cane. Do you know how many cars he vandalized? 75. I would say that was an example of mercy falling over backwards. I think he probably should have had 75 lashes. A good hard spanking. It's amazing. I think if we introduced corporal punishment again, it might make a very big difference in youthful offenders. Or how about the stocks? You remember how the Puritans used to put people's ankles and wrists in wooden stocks in a public place? I think we need to learn a little bit more about shame. There is no shame anymore. Everybody's excused for everything, usually because of their background. It wasn't their fault, the victimization syndrome. Is there a father listening who thinks of himself as a good neighbor, a good businessman, a good churchgoer, a good husband, who is nevertheless not merciful to his children? Think about it. I want to read a story written by my grandfather, and I believe he's telling a story about his father-in-law, my great-grandfather. A sensitive, timid little boy, long years ago, was accustomed to lie down to sleep in a low trundle bed, which was rolled under his parents' bed by day and was brought out for his use by night. As he lay there by himself in the darkness, he could hear the voices of his parents in their lighted sitting room across the hallway on the other side of the house. It seemed to him that his parents never slept, for he left them awake when he was put to bed at night, and he found them awake when he left his bed in the morning. So far, this thought was a cause of cheer to him, as his mind was busy with imaginings in the weird darkness of his lonely room. After loving goodnight words and kisses had been given him by both his parents, and he had nestled down to rest, This little boy was accustomed, night after night, to rouse up once more and to call out from his trundle bed to his strong-armed father in the room from which the light gleamed out beyond the shadowy hallway. "Are you there, Papa?" And the answer would come back cheerily, "Yes, my child, I'm here." "You'll take care of me tonight, Papa, won't you?" was then the question. "Yes, I'll take care of you, my child," was the comforting response. "Go to sleep now. Good night." And the little fellow would fall asleep restfully in the thought of those assuring good night words. A little matter that was to the loving father, but it was a great matter to the sensitive son. It helped to shape the son's life. It gave the father an added hold on him, and it opened up the way for his clearer understanding of his dependence on the loving watchfulness of the All-Father. And to this day, when that son, himself a father and a grandfather, lies down to sleep at night, he is accustomed, out of the memories of that lesson of long ago, to look up through the shadows of his earthly sleeping place into the far-off light of his father's presence, and to call out, in the same spirit of childlike trust and helplessness as so long ago, "Father, you'll take care of me tonight, won't you?" And he hears the assuring answer come back, "He that keepeth thee will not slumber. The Lord shall keep thee from all evil. He shall keep thy soul. Sleep, my child, in peace." And so he realizes the twofold blessing of a father's good night words. "That story," says Grandpa, "came from his own father-in-law, my great-grandfather, Henry Clay Trumbull. I have a hunch that Trumbull was that little boy, and the father, my great-great-grandfather." Mercy, lovely example of a merciful father. But if you're that father who is a good neighbor and a good businessman and churchgoer and husband, but not always merciful to your children, think about it. Pray about it. Divine wisdom is needed to know when to administer justice and when to administer mercy. The father usually stands for justice, the mother for mercy. But tenderness doesn't come naturally to everyone. Harshness, however, is never in keeping with doing justice and loving mercy. Hardness, yes, sometimes. Does the thought of hardness draw you or repel you? If we are to follow one who took up a cross and asks us to take up our cross and follow him, we have to face hardness, accept it, endure it as good soldiers. But let's be merciful to other people. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Psalm 23 ends with, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of my Lord forever." Beautiful hymn says, "With mercy and with judgment my web of time he wove, and I the dews of sorrow were lustered with his love. I'll bless the hand that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned, when throned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land." This is what Oswald Chambers says of mercy. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." As soon as we get right with God, we are going to meet things which are contrary. We are going to meet unmerciful good people and unmerciful bad people, unmerciful institutions, unmerciful organizations, and we shall have to go through the discipline of being merciful to the merciless. It's much easier to say, "I won't bother my head with them." Then we shall never know the blessedness of obtaining God's mercy. Over and over again, we will come up against these things. And in order to get the eternal blessedness Jesus Christ refers to, we shall have to go through the unhappiness of doing something that the standards of men will be contemptuous over. I remember one time when my father stood for justice and my mother for mercy. I had been disobedient about something. Don't remember what it was, but I was sent to bed with no supper. Well, I think it probably was a school day. I may have been in only the first or the second grade. I don't remember. But I was hungry. My lunch had been just a brown bag. And so my father sent me to bed without any supper. I think about an hour after the family had eaten their supper, my mother came up with a bowl of what we used to call porridge in those days. I suppose it was oatmeal or cream of wheat or something. I don't know whether she actually asked my father for permission to do that, but she showed mercy. I had been sufficiently punished in being banished from the family dinner table, and she felt that I did need a little bit of nourishment to go to sleep on. Our Heavenly Father is merciful, but He is also just. Perhaps I haven't emphasized nearly enough on this program God's justice. But both things are qualities of our Heavenly Father. And let's be willing to accept both from His loving hand.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.